Colossians chapter 4 this evening. Colossians chapter 4. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us. Colossians chapter number 4. The thought this evening is all for God's glory. All for God's glory. Colossians chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Colossians 4, verse 14. The Bible says there, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Colossians 4, verse number 15, now verse 16. "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity." Where am I at? No wonder it's not making sense to me. Thank you, Brother John. I thought you was asking where I was at. Colossians 4, rewind, action. Verse number 14, Colossians 4 and 14. Luke, there we go, I was wondering where Luke was. "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church was in which is in his house. And when the epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen." All for the glory, all for God's glory. And when we look at the passages throughout the scripture and the Bible, and we notice as we look at it, it's not by many great men that a lot of stuff was done. It's really not. We know them to be great. Listen, anybody that's listed in the Bible, in my mind, is a great person. It really is. But they didn't hold status in their community. You might say it like that. Hold your place there. Let's look over to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at the Hall of Faith. And there's many great, well-known men of God there and women. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of these we will notice and know right off the bat. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that should not see death." Verse 7. "By faith, Noah." Verse 8. "By faith, Abraham." All of these men that I've read, we know about. A lot about. Many of our Sunday school teachers could teach lessons on these here people without even studying, because they're well-known people in the Word of God. But if you would, go with me to verse number 31. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon. Well, we know about Gideon and Barak. We know about Samson. What about Jephthah? We know about David and Samuel. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions. 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to fight, to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials, cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in dens and caves and of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So all these folks we don't know about. They're not like way up there on the Bible list. But they did all they did, everything they did was all for God's glory. All for God's glory. You know what helped these folks? What I believe, and you go or flip over to Romans chapter 16, and we'll see a list of some more people. Romans chapter 16. I believe what helped these folks, they understood, whether it was large or great in the sight of man, was not important. What was important was that they were doing it for God's glory. Romans 16. And there's a whole list of people begins there in verse number 1. I commend unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. What was she? Just a servant at the church. That ye receive her, the Lord, as become saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath made hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epinius, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Eumene, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbana, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are of the Lord, are in the Lord. Salute Typhrene and Tryphosis, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Pyrrhuses, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and the mother of mine. Salute Asymacrises, Philegon, Hermas, Paterus, Hermes, and the brethren which were with them. Salute Philegus and Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. How many of you ever taught a Sunday school lesson on any of those folks? I can't even hardly pronounce many of them. When you skip on down to verse 21, there goes another list of different ones. We've got to get our focus right. Our focus has to be all for God's glory. And when we look over in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the Hall of Faith, and we see those names, Abraham, man, he was something. He left all he knew and went to a foreign land. I mean, he did some stuff by faith, waited on God. Of course, we know he messed up in several areas as well. And, Noah found grace in the eyes of God while the whole world was doing bad. Noah stood fast, firm. Moses, what a politician, what a statesman. Let my people go. Why? Thus saith the Lord. That's why. I mean, Joshua. Think about Joshua. What a general. What a general. But did you notice the labels these other ones got? Fellow helper. Prisoner, fellow prisoner, laborer on us, beloved, helper in Christ, approved in Christ. I submit to you that Hebrews chapter 11 and Romans chapter 16, these two groups of people have no lesser standing in the eyes of God. Now we look at them. Boy, this would be exciting to teach a story about Joshua, the great general, who stood there and the battle raged, and his arms got tired, and the sun stood still. Boy, what an exciting thing. It's exciting to have helpers. It's exciting to have people that's willing just to help one another. And I believe that's why the Holy Spirit of God wrote this down and laid this down for us, that we could be able to look at it and study it and see it. And, and reading through it, we just pass over. It really doesn't make good emphasis on our mind or our hearts when we look at Romans chapter 16 by itself. It's just there and we go through it. Listen to this, a poem. Christ has no hands but our hands. To do His work today, He has no feet but our feet to lead men His way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. Andy Johnson Flint. Hey, we got a big job, church. We really do. Now the outcome of our life should be left up to God. If God desires for us to be used in a manner like Joshua or Gideon, praise be to God. But what if He chooses for our life to be like Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles? They have a testimony. What if that's the route God chooses for me? Is it not His right as a sovereign God to lay out our life? Well, what's our job? Here am I, Lord. Use me how you see fit. And I promise you this, if we'll just submit ourselves to God and follow His leading and His leadership and allow God to use us as He wants, all the glory will go to Him. Every last bit of it. There'll be no little I's and big U's. There'll be nobody up on the pedestals. There'll be nobody condescending down to others. We'll be all laborers together. When you study out the Bible, dear friend, I'm telling you this, if you'll do it and mark it down, when you look at people's lives, very few were in full-time service like in a pastor's position. Very few were the 12 apostles. You know, the 12. Last time I counted, 12 come after 11. A dozen. But he used many.
We don't even hear, remember the 70 a couple of chapters before that he sent out? He gave them the same power. But when they came back in, their purpose of being recorded and written down in biblical form and in Scripture so that we could have it, it was done. But I guarantee you their service for God wasn't over. Now some of us, boy, we'd be a little upset. Well, how does them 12 get to keep going and following you? I mean, we'd get us some protest signs. We'd march around. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Why? When we look at it, when it's God's business, whatever He chooses for me to do is big in His eyes. It's big to Him. He chose you. He didn't choose anybody else. He chose you. And that's important, church. And it's all for God's glory. Think about this. Jesus fed 5,000 men alone. Doesn't record how many women and children were there. Some say it was upward to 20,000 women and children. If that is a good number, that's 25,000 people the Lord fed. Who did He use? The 12 apostles. A little bitty lad with his lunchbox. Who was important that day? He looked at the apostles, feed them. Lord, we have not even one penny's worth of wheat or food. What are we to do to go buy? We cannot send them away. That was the chosen 12. But one of them had an ear to the ground, was listening. Lord, I know that I can imagine. Can you imagine the thought in his mind? There's this kid, he's got a little bitty lunchbox, some loaves and some fishes. Look at the 5,000 men. What in the world? Should I tell the Lord? Should I not? He may have got him a little following. Should I tell him? Should I not? Should I tell him? Should I not? Well, why do you say that? Because there's several times in Scripture said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, increase our faith. Listen, they weren't men that were giants by themselves. They were men that were surrendered to God. And God fed those multitudes of people, 25,000 people. If it was only 5,000, that's enough miracle for me. I mean, let's all go get one basket down there at the one Happy Meal down at Burger King right now. See how far it goes in our little crowd here. You get a French fry, you get a French fry. I'll get that pickle. But hey, can you put extra pickles on that thing? Listen, that was a great miracle, but who was involved? A little lad. A nobody. Have y'all read about him over in Revelation yet? I do think I read about him in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says there's a great cloud of witnesses. I think he's probably witnessing. What's wrong with you grown folks down there? I gave up my whole life. That was all I had. That was it. And look what he did with it. And you're holding back on God. Can you imagine what he's saying right now? You know, little kids are painfully honest. Little kids and seniors are painfully honest. They just are. I don't know why. It just happens that way. I'm glad I'm coming in the middle there. My day is coming. Yes, you get payback, don't you? Payback to your kids and all that. But he's up there witnessing what's going on. Witnessing what's going on.
think about it like this. There's a little lady, young girl, young mama, has one or two kids, and you know, we practice choir after church. That's when our choir practices. Some practice at different times, but our church, it's after church on Sunday night. What if there was a mom in here that probably would love to sing in the choir, but she can't because she has the little kid somebody has to watch, and she don't want to feel burdensome upon people, and she would love it. Wouldn't it be a blessing to say, Lord, I can't sing in the choir. Don't have a voice that could help anything, but I could do that. Well, that's not, are you kidding me? That's not important. You know the blessing you'd be to that little mama? To allow her to be able to get in the choir practice and not have to worry about where her kids are out there running around in the parking lot, getting run over. Who are we to label what's important or not? That's the problem. Church, we got to get away from what we perceive to be important. You remember when we was going through 1 Corinthians where the Bible labeled us as a body? I mean, listen, not everybody's the more comely parts. There's some of us that are, we're just that. That's what we are. The calf. You know, some of us, the elbow, the ear, the nose. That's just what we are. Well, I don't want to be the nose. Why? You think God knows not best for us? It's all how we perceive what's important. And I'm telling you, it's important to God. There was a, I don't know what you'd call it, a skit or riddle or something about animals. And they were going to develop themselves, all to be equal. All to be equal, we know animals are not all equal. Not all at all. You have a duck. What's a duck good at play? Swimming. They're good swimmers. Very good swimmers. What's a rabbit good at? Running, hopping. What's an eagle good at? Soaring. Well, they had this class, and to make it all fair, all the animals had to do all the jumping, hopping, swimming, exercise. Can you imagine looking at a duck's foot after it done ran 5 miles? Be all swole up, puffed up. Would hinder its what? Swimming, because the webbed feet is good for swimming. The eagle always won the climbing event because he insisted on doing it his way. He just flew to the top. But he got a failing grade. What's the moral of that, Pastor? All animals are not created equal. They have different specialties. But they're created by the same God. Every last one of us are created differently. And we have our specialties. What you going to do with it? You going to convince yourself you're going to be an eagle when you're a peacock? Eagles fly high. Peacocks just spread and look pretty. That's where peacocks were made. Well, I don't want it. That's not the question. It's all for God's glory. What about these guys over in Romans 16? What if they were upset? Say, I don't want to be in Romans 16. I want to be in chapter 11 of Hebrews. I'm not going to be a helper unless I'm written in Hebrews. You know where that had been written? No. You know why God praised him in chapter 16 for being helpers? It was all for his glory. You know why God praised him in Hebrews chapter 11? Moses, Abraham, Rahab the harlot. You know why he praised them? It was all for his glory. They weren't worried about where they're going to be written. But church, I can promise you this. We won't be written in Hebrews or Romans. We're being written down and recorded in a book up yonder. And one day, he's going to say, give him a king. What you've done in this body, whether good or bad, right or wrong, will it withstand the fire? In other words, was it for my glory? For my glory. Well, preacher, how do we do that? Number one, you're going to have to make yourself available. Go back over to Colossians. There's no way it can be for God's glory if we're not available for God's use. None whatsoever. Colossians chapter 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet thee. You know who Luke was? We're learning about him. Been preaching through Luke for a long time now. Luke, the beloved physician. What do we know about Luke? Well, he was a doctor. Christian doctor. As far as I know, doctors make pretty good money. I don't know any of them that's living in the poorhouse. Do you know what Luke did with his learning? He took his medical training and he traveled around the missionary journeys with Paul. Be a help. Remember Sunday school, I told you that about Paul wanting to remove his, asking God to remove his physical ailment, this thorn in his flesh. He asked him three times and God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Some people think it was physical. Some people think it was mental. Some people think it may have been pride. Some people, it was all kind of things. I told him this morning, I believe it's probably physical. He told the Galatians, he said, you at one time would have plucked your own eyes out and gave them to me. So I believe probably it may. If you have a problem with your eyes, wouldn't it be good to have a medical doctor? What did Luke do? He made himself available. What come of that? The book of Luke, the book of Acts. Do you realize, church, that Luke, the physician, wrote more of God's word, was the human writer of God's word than Paul himself? Just with those two books. Add up the words. Add up Luke and add up the words in Acts. More than Paul. Well, how did he do that? He just was available. Very educated. Very educated. You know what else is amazing about him? As far as I know, he's a Gentile. Isn't that something? Luke, a Gentile. Traveling around with a bunch of Hebrew missionaries, just being a blessing. Probably could have climbed up that economic ladder pretty far, couldn't have, if he'd just stayed put. But that wasn't important to him. What was important to him was being available for God. Why? It was all for God's glory. God's glory. He was very committed as a Christian. Gave up the comforts of his home, surely, to be part of this. He was committed. He is well beloved. Luke, the beloved physician. Had probably good bedside manners. People liked him. If you got good bedside manners, you got good clientele, that wasn't important to him. But I can say this about Luke, just knowing his character, reading through the books that he's written and how God used him. If God would have said to Luke, Luke, I'd rather you stay here and open up a physician's shop and just stay right here, Luke would have been happy doing that. Somebody else wasn't. Who's that other fellow? Right there in that same verse. Demas. Demas. Luke was used by God mightily. But Demas abandoned God. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas is all in there right there. He's all in it. He's there, ready to do right. It's all for God's glory. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Philemon, verse 24, it talks about Demas being a fellow servant. Colossians 4:14, they just call him Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me. What happened? The Bible says, for having loved this present world. You know what the Bible teaches us about the love of this world? James chapter 4 teaches us that if we are friends of this world, we're enemies of God. James 4:4. First John talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I wonder which one of those got Demas. I don't know which one of them possibly could get us. Pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. He forsook the work of the Lord for the love of this present world. Which one's after you? I submit to you that all three are after you. But it only takes one to take you down. It only takes, listen, working for God's not like in the not like in baseball where you get three strikes and you're out. All it takes is one home to hit a home run or a base hit. Any of those three take you down. What happened? Luke was available. Demas abandoned. What happened? I submit to you, church, that it came to the point that he did not keep his eyes on Christ and he did not do all that he did for the glory of God. Think about John Mark. There's one time John Mark, he got crossways, separated from the ministry, abandoned the ministry, but later on he was profitable. Was reconciled back by Barnabas. What happened? At one point in his life, he abandoned it. He realized that road was no good, and he made himself available. And Paul said this, bring Mark to me. Church, I don't know where you are in your life. Only you know this. I'm not present, but God is. And you know whether you're available or you've abandoned. And if you've abandoned, it's not for His glory. You'll wear yourself out. You'll quit on God. So what do we got to do, preacher? Just leave the results up to Him. Leave the results up to Him. If He writes you down in a place like Hebrews or like Romans, it's His business. If He chooses you to be a fellow helper or a general, it's His business. He's God. And we just to be, just yield, submit. Lord, here am I. What do you desire from me? Where do you desire from me? Take and use my talents for your glory. Well, why? Why should I do that? Because I'm telling you, dear friend, number one, we do that, it brings God glory. Number two, it builds up the work of the faith, the fellowship of believers, the local New Testament church, like it talks about in Ephesians 4:11-12. Number three, it develops the unity of the body of Christ. Well, how? Because that was not worried about who gets the glory. That was not worried about. All the glory belongs to God.
I tell you something else it does. It develops maturity in the body of Christ. Boy, we need some maturity. Have you noticed that young men and young ladies, it's taken them longer and longer and longer and longer to mature up into late 20s, seem like sometimes. Well, it's taken Christians the same amount to mature as Christians. Why? They're not desiring that word of of God that they may grow thereby. And I'll tell you this, dear friend, it grows the body of Christ. Why should God add to our church family if we as a church family are not willing to abandon all and make ourselves available for Him? There's natural gifts, there's spiritual gifts. The two sometimes rub neck to neck, close by close. Sometimes cross over. But here's the difference between natural and spiritual gifts. A natural gift, they're received from our biological parents. Spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Natural talents, they're present from natural birth. Spiritual gifts, they're not present till conversion, born-again experience through Christ. Natural talents, benefits in the earthly realm. Spiritual gifts benefit the spiritual realm. What's important to you? Laying up treasures in heaven? Seeking first the kingdom of God? Gathering earthly goods. Natural talents always advance man's plans. Spiritual gifts, what do they advance? God's plan. Natural talents, the results are always temporal. Spiritual gifts, the results are always eternal. Natural talents tend to glorify self. Spiritual gifts glorify God. You understand, church? With these natural talents, many who don't believe in God have plenty of natural talents. There's plenty of atheists who have natural talents. They can counsel. They can manage. But they can't take the administration and talent of financial management and blend them together with gifts of mercy and grace. They don't have any idea. You know who they're like? The man who left the king, who was forgiven all, found the one that had owed him a little bit and choked him down. Natural. It's for my glory. Spiritual is for God's glory. It's all for God's glory. One more poem, I think, and I'm going to read this to you this evening. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can. To all the people you can, as long as you ever can. John Wesley. I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall. How do we get that attitude? It's all for His glory. Let's stand to our feet, church.